Hey there, my name's Oisin Lunny and welcome to Audio Talks, presented to you by Harman. And in this episode, I'm delighted to be catching up with my old friend, Akshay Sarin. Now, Akshay is a musician, an impact entrepreneur, an influencer, a creative entrepreneur, and a disruptive marketer. He has performed all over the world and been featured in Rolling Stone, Vogue, GQ, and most recently in a certain Book of World Records. Welcome to the podcast, Akshay Sarin.
Hey, Oisin. It's always nice to connect with you. It's been, what, 12 plus years, I think, since the London Olympics where we met.
Oh, yeah. That was such a fun night.
We're like growing old together.
It's all relative, you know, like one of us on this call has extreme gray hairs, I'll put it that way. So listen, for the folks listening to the podcast who don't have the advantage of knowing you for a while.
Disadvantage.
Again, everything's relative. So, you know, we're going to get to know you a bit. We're going to get to know about your background, your path, your journey, some of the places that it's brought you and some of the incredible work that you do, which is at this very unique overlap of sound and music and spirituality and marketing and wellness and all these things. But let's start at the beginning, actually. Talk to us a bit about where you grew up and what was your childhood like?
I was born in Bangalore in South India, and we moved to the Philippines when I was a year old because my dad decided to pursue his MBA a little late in life. And we ended up traveling quite a bit because of his work. So by the time I was a teenager, we had moved to Oman in the Middle East. We moved to Cairo, London. I ended up doing my university in the US. And after that, I was in Amsterdam for a while. So, well, Amsterdam was more recent. But yeah, it was quite a world traveling, modern Marco Polo kind of journey. And I guess spirituality and music have always been kind of the undercurrent in everything I've done. So I'd say that everything that I do, like you mentioned, the entrepreneurship or the music business, or even working at Red Bull, music and spirituality have been the causal factor behind. These are just kind of expressions of the underlying intent. My introduction to spirituality was pretty early because my dad's elder brother, who was like this corporate hotshot, decided that he wanted to become a monk when he was really young. Luckily, my grandparents dissuaded him from that path. But he did visit us once when I was 7 years old, and he introduced a friend and I to meditation. And we had this really interesting out-of-body experience, like, you know, astral projection kind of thing. And I always thought, was I the only one who experienced it? And it took me like 20 plus years to bring it up with my friend Neha in Singapore. And I was like, hey, you know, when we did this when we were 7 years old, do you remember it? And she's like, yes. I was like, did you experience this? And she's like, yeah, I did. I was like, okay, good. I thought I was crazy all these years. So yeah, she had this like out-of-body floating experience as well. That experience, you know, like when you, so one is like to intellectualize and to talk about the things that we cannot see and the things that we feel. But another thing is to actually experience it, and then it becomes undeniable, right? It's your experience. So that was kind of my introduction to spirituality. And it's taken me a really long time to come to terms with who I am, because society is like quite linear in many ways. And so it takes a lot of like self-exploration, discovery, you know, like who am I? Where do I fit into all of this? And how do I be true to myself? And in being true to myself, I can add more value to the world.
Indeed, indeed. And what do you think that your kind of path has shown you about, you know, you speak about this joint journey in music and in spirituality, and you have these experiences, this experiential learning. What do you think is the overlap between the nature of creativity and our connection with spirituality?
I think all human beings are creative when they're in a state of rest. And that's when we can be our highest selves. I don't want to say Western society, but the current paradigm is like of doing, right? Do, 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 achieve something, use your intellect, use your analytical mind. But we fail to acknowledge that knowledge itself is limited, because knowledge is based on something you know, that you have experienced through your sensory organs. And that is always going to be limited. But when you explore creation through meditation, then you are shutting out your sensory organs and you are letting your mind be silent. And when your mind is silent, it's like a satellite dish, right? When you're open, then you're open to all the frequencies that are coming in. There are so many things that I have learned And so many things that I have done because of the things that I've dreamt, like literally in my dreams, I've seen things, or in my meditation, like I lived in London for a while and I was supposed to do a master's in music business at the University of Westminster. And I had my admission sorted out, my visas, everything done. And I was meditating and I had this vision voice in my head that was like, go back to India and add value to the country that you came from, you know? And so I went and told my parents, hey guys, I'm going to move to India. And they're like, why? Like, you have everything going for you over here, you know? I was like, I don't know. I just have to go back home and do something for my country. And so I came to India and I was having a good time hanging out with like really cool people. And people would ask me, hey, you know, what are you doing in India? And I was like, I don't know. I don't really have a response because it's just like on a whim. And then one day someone is like, so like, what are you doing here? And it popped up in my head. I'm going to set up a nightclub and a music venue. And in my head, I was like, hey, that sounds nice. And then cut to like, I think it was like 2 weeks later, I was walking home. I bumped into this guy on the street who had this really fancy sports car and we got talking. And it turns out we had a common friend in London who had actually asked us to connect, but never connected us. And we literally met on the streets of like 18 million people city. And he's like, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm going to set up a nightclub. He's like, oh, me too. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm going to go meet this big Bollywood actor right now. why don't you come along? And that was it. Like, we went and met this like huge, like, he's like the Robert De Niro of India, basically. And we went and met this guy and like got to like 2 months later, we had a nightclub and two restaurants. And so I think this all comes back to if your mind is in a space of silence and receiving mode, then like what people call flow state, right? Then flow state happens.
Wow. And so you've kind of described there, you know, you had this chance meeting with somebody you were meant to meet anyway in a city of, what, 18 million people? I mean, my goodness. Having this open mindset and being guided by intuition and a kind of connection with your higher self and being open to the suggestions of the universe and, you know, the potential paths that are in front of you. This has brought you to some really interesting places. You've traveled all over the world. You've performed all over the world. You've performed on stages at Amsterdam Dance Event, Exit, Glastonbury. You've collaborated with some great people. Talk to us about some of the musical moments that really have defined this journey for you.
So actually how you and I met is quite interesting. You don't know the backstory. So Taina, who connected us, had invited me to this event. How I ended up meeting Taina was because the first artist I ever managed, Surinder Sandhu, he recorded an album with the Liverpool Philharmonic and with Steve Vai. That's another great story, actually. I saw an advertisement on Craigslist. This is like when Craigslist existed. And I took a train from London to Birmingham. I've never met this dude. And we sat in his car at the Birmingham station and he played me his album. I was like, wow. And he's like, would you be my manager? I was like, sure. Wow. I know nothing about being a manager, but I was like, I'm down for it, man. Like this guy believes in me. I'll believe in myself.
Beautiful.
And so I speak with Taina. Taina's like, hey, do you want to come and perform with me at the Olympics? And I was like, yeah, sure. But I just got back to India. So like, I don't know. She's like, don't worry. Like, you know, we'll handle everything. And that's how you and I met. It was because of the musical journey. I ended up at that event and you and I met. And, you know, we've been friends for now for 12 years.
You've played in some really interesting places. I believe you're one of the very few musicians to perform at a Grand Prix. Is that right?
Yes, that was the Singapore Grand Prix, Singapore F1. I played there back to back, a couple of them actually.
You know, you've described this incredible journey that you've been on. You've had a very unique and a very distinct mindset that you're kind of open to the suggestions of the universe. The path seems to have its own momentum, but you tune into it. So you live the best possible path. But you've also helped some really significant brands to tell incredible stories. Now, talk to us a bit about how you leverage this creative heart for, you know, folks like Armani, Oracle, Tata, and indeed Harman and JBL. Talk to us a bit about your brand work and what is it that you like doing with brands the most?
So I guess what I really enjoy is taking people out of their existing mindset. All my brand work actually started because of music. Being a creator, for example, being a musician, W Hotels invited me to be part of their global brand ambassador program called the Insider Collective. I had a conversation with then the global brand head, Anthony Ingham. he said that, you know, we're going to launch in India in 2 years and we'd love for you and your team to kind of guide us in the right direction. And so it started off with music, but led to brand work. So a lot of the brands that I worked with initially, like W, Heineken, Armani, JBL, was because of being a musician, but having a creative and strategic brain as well. So for example, with JBL, they sponsored one of the music festivals I put together in Bangalore. I created a song and music video for them. Was it like a university influencer program that they had? So we did a song and there were like other really cool Indian musicians who were part of it. So yeah, it was like always like creativity led and how can creativity add value to building the brand? And then that kind of led to me joining Red Bull. So that was really interesting how that happened. I was running my own couple of music companies, doing programming for like a lot of venues in India. I had like a digital label. And Red Bull reached out to me saying, hey, you know, like, would you like to come join us? At that time, I was like, you know, like, I'm killing it right now. I have a great music career. I have a great music entrepreneurial career. I'm my own boss. But then I also saw that the music industry in India was pretty disorganized. There was a lack of ethics, perhaps. So I thought that maybe if I worked with a brand like Red Bull, and the role was really interesting because it was India's first national culture manager. I was like employee number 4 for the Indian operation. So it was basically connecting creative people and the arts to the brand and leveraging creativity and culture. We like did really cool stuff where we brought the Formula One car to inaugurate what is, I think, the longest bridge in India in Bombay. And we had David Coulthard come down and drive the car and do donuts on this thing. And we got this ridiculous speeding fine. And of course, like there's like Red Bull, like their fabled music, Red Bull Music Academy. So it's like a really great experience. And I think that kind of cemented the journey from working with creative people in an ad hoc manner to like having a very structured, strategic approach. And what I really liked about Red Bull was like the slogan, like gives you wings. And for me, it's always been, like you said, you know, like to like provide opportunities to everyone. And that's what I loved about Red Bull was like, I'm getting to work with my people, which is creative people who don't get that opportunity in a country like India as much as they should. And here was a brand that like likes to work with that community to grow together. And it's interesting. So during Red Bull, I set up my first foundation. We started working with, it was a really interesting project. It was called Red Bull Free Streets. We connected traditional Indian dance like Bharatnatyam with b-boys, and we had a beatboxer, and we did like this tour across colleges, and that kind of inspired my setting up a program to deliver free music concerts to people in Bombay who couldn't afford it. And we worked with the Bombay Chamber of Commerce to do these concerts. And then I decided, I had this like aha moment when I was at Red Bull where I was like, you know, I have this ability to build brands and to connect with people. I would rather use my ability to serve society rather than to, you know, sell a super cool product. And that's when Red Bull and I parted ways. Then I came straight to the Olympics after that because I was at this really at this crossroads in my life where I was like, okay, like the life that I have known is not going to be what I'm going to be doing going forward. And I want to add value to the world. And I didn't know how. And this entire invitation happened. And the parent event for this was the Global Impact Institute. Warren Buffett's grandson, Howard Buffett, was the guy behind this. And I think we all went to the House of Commons.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I think so.
Yeah. And that was another pivotal moment where there was like these 100 people, social impact entrepreneurs who they believe would change the world. And then we were there at this thing. And I was like, again, you know, like intuition and I guess like divine energy happening. And I was like, hey, I can add value and make a living. Yeah, I came back to India, set up, I guess it takes time to activate that thought process. So I set up a disruptive marketing agency called Together, which is like Red Bull style of marketing. But that ended up going in the direction of like social impact, brand consulting. And that's how we flew you to India also.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing, dude.
With the Confederation of Indian Industry event that we had.
Yeah, I'll never forget all of us having tea at the president's house in Delhi. That was just incredible.
That was pretty cool. You still have the invitation from the president?
Oh, I'm sure I do. That's not the kind of thing you throw away. I have a box full of stuff like that somewhere.
I'm sure you do.
You know, when you kind of moved on from your kind of profound partnership with Red Bull, you know, you bought this kind of disruptive, intuitive, creative marketing gift to, you know, more brands, and you continue to do this really interesting work. And I would love to kind of zoom in a little bit, or maybe zoom out, because it's such a huge project. Most recently, you've been involved in a certain world record book breaking campaign with a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Now, talk to us a bit about what is this? Is just, I saw this in a newspaper and I'm like,
what is going on here?
So let's set this up. Talk to our listeners about what is Sonokinesis and how did you come to collaborate with an enormous cruise ship?
So Sonokinesis is something that I've been working on for 5 years now, kind of under the radar. So we have done collaborations with Armani Exchange, where we converted their store into a music instrument. The principle is fairly simple. It's basically using vibration sensors to recognize different gestures and then translate that into data and then into music notes. The next step would be to like connect lighting systems to it. So my thought again came from being a brand person at Red Bull, having my agency, to being a creative person, and again, being an audience member at like a lot of these experiences where you have, let's say, JBL presents Coldplay. The brand is always separate from the artist, right? From the content. It's like presenting and you're not part of the actual content creation. So I thought that, you know, what if like the actual product could be part of the performance? So something I pitched to Tata Motors, for example, was like, let's say if we do a concert, the car itself, like let's say it's a Jaguar, it can actually be a music instrument. So like if Coldplay is performing, then the lead melody from, I don't know, whatever their famous song is.
Clocks or something,
I don't listen to Coldplay that much, so it's probably a bad reference.
So that's kind of coming, the car is an instrument, right?
Yeah, so that was a thought. So I did that with like a surfboard, I did that with like an Armani store, I did that with a cooking vessel, like a pressure cooker. And then I was like, then I pitched this to the Ritz-Carlton for their 10-year anniversary. I was like, well, we can make the hotel into a music instrument. And we were working on that. And parallel to that, I had this idea. I was like, hey, wait, what's bigger than a hotel? It's like a ship. A ship is like 8 hotels. And so I happened to be in Singapore and I got connected with the CEO for Royal Caribbean for APAC, Angie. Obviously, like when you throw something like this at someone, they're like, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I had to go and kind of do a little demonstration. And like, you know, the team came and like tapped this table. I converted like their lunch table into a music instrument. And you could see like that element of wonder that comes up, you know, like, and that's what I really love about whatever it is I do, is to see like that childlike wonder that comes onto an adult's face. And it's actually quite amazing. You can see that instant where you have that wonder, like, whoa, what just happened? And then the analytical adult mind comes like, wait, how did this happen? And then then everyone will start looking for the sensor. They like ask me like, how did you do this? You know? So it's like that transition is what I'm trying to break, actually, is like, we always want to know. And that comes from the ego. It's like, I know, you know, I know, therefore I am. Or like, as Rousseau said, I think, therefore I am. How can we move from that, I think, and that egocentric thing to just being in a state of wonder as children are, where like, you know, like it's like wide-eyed, like, wow, like what's happening to my life? So yeah, Royal Caribbean, the initial conversation was that they have this thing called the President's Cruise, and they had Chaka Khan, who was going to perform. And my idea was like, hey, can we, while Chaka Khan is performing, can we perform the lead instrument on like one of her songs on the ship itself? And it was a bit last minute for that. So they said, you know, maybe you should come to Singapore and do a couple of test runs before we just throw you into the deep end, so to speak. And so I did like a couple of sailings with them, which was amazing. It was my first time on a cruise. Yeah, I basically ended up connecting the sensors on the ship, on the hull, inside the interior. So I did like a little performance to demonstrate the concept and how it works. So I played the melody with one hand and I played like the drum, snare and kick with one hand, just to demonstrate like the different possibilities. So we had like passengers, like, and I gave them like spoons and they're like tapping the table and playing something that sounds like kind of like a hammered dulcimer. So yeah, that was the Royal Caribbean thing. And the plan is to roll it out. Like, they have like a bunch of interestingly named ships that are kind of connected to music. So how can we create an experience for the passengers on board? But what really excites me is, and this was the dream that I pitched to them, is that can we have, so like imagine you're looking at the ship and that Titanic movie where Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet are like at the edge of the ship. Yeah, so like the view is that, and there's an orchestra floating around in front of the ship, or they're like on land in front of the ship. Like this orchestra is like playing Beethoven or Mozart or whatever, and then I'm like in the middle and I'm playing like the lead on the ship itself, you know. So that's kind of what I really want to do. And like there's a beautiful like drone shot where you like zoom out and you see this huge like 1200 foot long giant thing, which is a music instrument.
You know, a cruise ship like the Spectrum of the Seas that you worked with, this is like the size of the Eiffel Tower or something. These things are massive, right?
Yeah, they're like floating cities.
Wow.
So speaking of the Eiffel Tower, that is what I actually want to do next. I'm talking to some people in the British government for the London Eye. And I also, the dream is to do the Eiffel Tower, to have an orchestra around the Eiffel Tower and actually play the Eiffel Tower itself.
Wow, dude, this sonokinesis is just mind-blowing in its scope. And is this something like an idea that came from that space of meditation where you kind of have a very open mind and you get these great creative ideas coming in? You kind of invite them in.
So I did not create the technology. It's a bunch of technologies put together. But the how to use it and I guess the vision of what scale it could be used at, because it could be used to, you know, play on a table, but the scale of like, can it be used to do something as huge as this? And what I'm talking to another friend about is like, can we musically activate like major monuments in the world and can we connect them to each other so that like you have the Eiffel Tower, you have, you know, like the pyramids, you have the Taj Mahal, can we connect them all in some way? Because music as a language is, it knows no color, right? Like when you and I are speaking right now, there are our past experience, there's how we use our words, but music is a feeling. And that's really what I want to try and spark in people is how do we connect at a basic level? And I think especially relevant in the world we live in today, where we're fighting over like religion, which side of the block do I live in? You know, like which part of the city do you live in? What's your color of your skin? How do you speak? And again, it comes back to like the analytical mind, right? The analytical mind is always dividing, you know, we're like separating. And I think that needs to change. We need to move from dividing and conquering, so to speak, to integrating. And I think that's what music is, such an important communication language for integration. So actually, when I listen to music, most often I listen to music without any lyrics, because I'm actually just like feeling. That's what I'm doing. I'm unbiased in what is being said to me. I'm just feeling. It's my experience. And that would be really cool to like connect all the different monuments so people can feel something together. And I remember the Grateful Dead used to do some really interesting stuff where they'd have these huge concerts and they'd have someone like drawing something, and then everyone in the audience would be like projecting the same thought, and then someone would draw what the audience was thinking.
Outstanding. I love it. You've just kind of mentioned one of the totemic moments in JBL history was that Grateful Dead wall of sound. Their sound engineer built those out of, I think it was like hundreds of JBL speakers to make that absolute wall of sound that you see captured for posterity there. But I love this. You are connecting people all over the world and you're kind of tireless in it. It's kind of the path that you're on. It's bigger than you, but you're making it happen. You're welcoming it into the world. It's really something. But talk to us a bit about what this path of openness, of living with intuition, of being quite meditative and reflective and also adventurous and brave and having these new ideas, what has this path taught you about the nature of creativity and music and, you know, what this actually means to us? You know, you speak about it uniting the world, which I absolutely love. I would love for this to happen. But talk to us about, you know, what this says about music and sound.
So there are things in the world that need to change. And it really hurts to see us cannibalizing each other. It took me 30 years to realize why I do what I do. And it's because I went to boarding school. And when I was in boarding school, there was like terrible physical abuse level bullying. And that left an indelible imprint on me. But I said that I don't want to be like this. And it's like Gandhi says, right? Like an eye for an eye and the world goes blind. And I was like, this is where it stops, and I will choose to be different. And that's why, again, back to music, because music is colorless. It just is. And how you perceive it depends on the receiver. And music is such a powerful tool for expression, for people to connect, for people to communicate. And again, this is like quite unfortunate that if you look at any brand campaign for any brand, at least in India, is like you'll have like an advertisement targeting like the Gen Z or millennials, and the coolest guy in the ad is always the musician. He's like the dude playing the guitar. He's the dude who's like pretend DJing. But what's really unfortunate is like this poor musician does not make as much money as anyone else does.
Yeah.
So this makes me think that A, we're selling stuff based off the coolness of musicians. B, we're not incentivizing people to follow this path. We don't understand music, its power, and beyond music, sound, right? So I studied psychology and physics of music in university. And of course, you know, this is basic information, like certain chord progressions affect human moods pretty much as like as an absolute. It's not a relative thing. So for something that shapes our behavior, and music is used to take people out of depression, it helps them handle anxiety. Spotify is full of content, which is like, you know, 432 hertz healing, alpha waves, beta waves. So why are we not investing more in something that adds so much more value to our lives? Great. So like you studied econometrics, or you studied like whatever, physics or mathematics or English, but like, does that make you a better person? Maybe not, you know? So why not something like music where it allows you to express yourself, allows you to connect to people, allows you to add value? Why are we not investing more in this language, so to speak? And that's something that I'm really interested in is, you know, while the Tiestos and Armin van Buren's, while they play these huge concerts. And again, why are these concerts so big? It's back to that primal tribal experience of oneness, of the rhythm, of the harmony, of frequency. How can we take the drugs and booze out of it and give people like the high for free, you know? And that's what would be really interesting as a next step, is to do it at that scale. And so I have been doing sound healing based work. My first album was actually, a first commercially released album was a sound healing album, which I released on Sony Music in 2002. It's taken me a long time. Like, I think this is probably the first time that I'm publicly talking about something like this, because spirituality and music are so close to me that, and also because like we're like in such a left brain society, we don't talk about stuff like this. So I did a lot of research on the different instruments and how they affect the different chakras, like the energy centers in our body, and the different frequencies. Like, so actually Kanye West said something quite interesting as part of his transition to wherever he's headed next. He was talking about, I think on his last album, he was talking about like how like the bass drum, the TR-808, why does it make people move so much? Because it's activating your sacral chakra, your bass chakra, because it's got that low frequency, right? That like 100 hertz or whatever it is. And then like the higher frequencies are working with your higher energy centers. And that makes perfect sense, because even in the Vedas, the ancient Indian texts, like they talk about the exact same thing. And like, if you look at it, the human body is like a flute, right? And the different frequencies are in you in the same way that they are in a flute. My aunt, she's a pretty well-known meditation instructor. And she, when I was a teenager, she was like, you know, why don't we do this album, guided meditation album on chakra clearing and cleansing. And that kind of led me to doing research on the different instruments and the frequencies. And then what I'm doing now is kind of like full circle, right? I started my life with spirituality, music in parallel, did like the business thing, you know, setting up music company, Red Bull, advertising, back to music and spirituality, where I'm like, okay, I've played in the material world and now it's time to go back to source, you know, to, like you were saying, to channel consciousness and then to bring it and make it relatable and accessible to everyone. And one of my favorite things that I do, I've been doing for the last like 5-6 years, I went to Bali and I studied different healing modalities just before the pandemic. And what I've been doing is, have you heard of this thing called Schumann resonance?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, the
Schumann resonance.
The earth frequency, is that it?
Exactly, yeah.
Right,
so
yeah.
So that was a really interesting concept, was that the earth is constantly in a state of vibration, right? It's typically around 7.83 hertz, but depending on environmental factors, it can go up to like 100 hertz. Now, if you think about it, if human beings are in this like substrate of vibration, like a fish in the ocean, right? And so the vibration of the earth is changing, which then shapes our DNA formation. It shapes our mood. So like one day, you know, you've probably woken up like, why do I feel grumpy today? Or why do I feel low on energy? It's because like we are connected to the earth. And what our society right now is doing is it's separating us from creation every day. You know, like there's like this digital interface, there's apps, there's sitting in the air conditioning. It's taking us away from who we really are. We're animals at the end of the day, right? We might have a brain, but we are animals. Let's not forget that. And what I do with Schumann resonance is I connect these sensors to the ground and we're like reading the vibration of the earth. And then what I do is I construct harmonies based on that frequency. So obviously like a 7.83 hertz is not audible to the ear. So then like we do from 7.83 to 14 point something to 28 point something and up. And then it's audible to the human ear. And then I start stripping away the frequencies. And then what that does is basically it's taking your very active brain down to a frequency of the earth and therefore nothingness, where you kind of lose your sense of identity, who you are. And then you kind of become like that satellite dish that I was talking about, where you are open and where you can receive and not receive from the place that, hey, I'm Akshay and I am XYZ and I'm someone's husband, boyfriend, I work here, but like I am just creation. And when you are creation, that is when like the good stuff happens. So I didn't really know where this would lead, but like I remember when I did this in Goa at a healing festival, it was like a festival with pretty advanced like meditation teachers, yogi, you know, like yoga teachers and healing modality teachers. So it's like it was like going into like a room of people who know what they're about. And I was like, hey, you know, guys, this is what I'm going to do. And some really interesting stuff happened where these people have never met each other. There's like 30 people in the room. They've never met each other before. And we all just sat in a circle and I did my Schumann residence thing. And while I was doing that, I also did like a bit of Reiki and I studied craniosacral therapy in Bali. So like I did like this general like energy channeling, like let good things happen kind of thing. And what was really interesting was that after people got done, so I was like, you know, share your experience. And everyone saw the same thing. Like everyone saw fire in different forms. So like someone saw a bonfire, someone saw something burning, someone saw like their bad karma burning, someone was like felt a lot of heat. Another really interesting thing happened. One person was like, hey, you know, like I saw you when I was like passed out or asleep or whatever it was. Like it's like John telling David, like, hey, David, I saw you in my trip. And David's like, hey, John, I saw you in my trip. And and he was like, wait, we spoke about this. And they're like, what? That's exactly what happened to me. And we're all like, wait, what's happening over here? You know, like these people have never spoken to each other. Why are they speaking to each other while they're like in this meditative state? And I guess like one thought is that one frequency, right? All the minds came to this one frequency and there the communication happened. So it's like one mind. And again, back to the Grateful Dead, like that's what they did. They and like large meditation groups, when you focus on one thing or you all meditate together, there is one mind. And it makes sense because the collective consciousness is a thing that we study in bees and ants. Why can't it exist in us? So yeah, that's been kind of like the direction that things have been going in. And I think it's very interesting to explore that further because sound is the underlying substrate behind all of this, right? There's sound is vibration. And it's like when you walk into a room, like, why do you get along with one person so much, even though you don't really talk? You instantly know, hey, you know, this is like, there's a vibe over here. So like what we call chemistry, I guess, you know, what is chemistry really? Chemistry is basically vibration. What is vibration? Vibration is sound. And when you talk about like quantum mechanics, it's basically living at the causal state of being rather than at the manifest level of being.
Oh my goodness. This is literally opening up another podcast series. I love it. It's like you've been on such an interesting journey, actually. You really have. You know, you've come from this space of a spiritual connection and the journey has kind of taken you in a roundabout way to see where the connection overlaps with sound and vibration and healing and spirituality. And it feels like the next part of your journey is going to be even more interesting. There's so many roads opening up. If our listeners want to find out more about your work in sound healing, in wellness, and maybe listen to some of your previous musical creations, where should they find you?
I guess my website, akshayasarin.com, that's akshayasarin.com, or like Instagram. I don't use Instagram too much. I'm trying to force myself to use it just to stay relevant. But nice. I'm on Instagram as well. Yeah, I'm happy to talk to people and bounce off ideas and learn new things. Yeah.
Fantastic. Right. We'll be definitely be linking to your website and your Instagram in the show notes. And, you know, I've got two more questions. The first one is, what's coming up next? What's next on your journey?
I think it's going back to love, to the heart. And, you know, like everything that you said, when we talk about like energy, we talk about vibration. I think the movie Interstellar actually pointed this out in a very interesting way, where there is like this element of time travel and multiple parallel universes, but like what connects them is the heart, which is love. And I think that's kind of where I'm going back to. And it's what I started out with as a child, was like just like this immense love that I have and this desire to share that love and add value to people, which is interestingly connected to my name, because Akshay means indestructible, like the universe. But it also comes from this mythical vessel called the Akshay Patra, which is the vessel of eternal giving. Like it's basically like the endless pot of food. So that love is there. And I think it's something that, I guess, like as a society, we haven't really, it's always like you have to be cool and like laid back and macho or whatever it might be. But like love is actually what really moves things. And that's what the world really needs right now, is to like, let's move beyond like our judgments and our separations and just be one, you know. And again, you've got me at a good point in time in life where I have my social enterprise Blessed By, which I created post Red Bull to move people from this like consumerism to contribution. And so like the journey from like, how do I move from like just buying stuff and screwing people over for like promotion at work and stuff, to actually being of service. So Blessed By is like at an interesting inflection point where we're now at like phase two, where we've got an amazing team in place. And now we're looking to scale our impact. And in like the couple of years it's been running, we've moved Asia's largest hotel chain from using single-use plastics to using eco-friendly bamboo-based alternatives. We've brought an entire village of 200 artisans out of poverty. So now it's like phase two for Blessed By. Touchwood, I've got hopefully a capable team who are adept at the business side of things. So I would like to move, while I kind of provide like the moral compass and the direction for Blessed By and my foundation, I would like to now go back to playing gigs, doing like that arena level sound healing experience, do like the craniosacral therapy and just travel the world. Like what do you do, right? You go to different places and you share your experience with people. And that's something that I've been told by a fellow spiritual person that it's now time to kind of share the gifts, like you said, that are there, to be kind of that connection between like the abstract level of consciousness and the manifest, like the between the causal and the manifest. So that's what I'd like to do at like a deep life purpose level. In terms of like fun stuff, like I said, I'd like to do like really cool stuff with brands, continue to do stuff with brands, connect music and sonokinesis to, you know, different buildings, monuments, activations. I'd like to play gigs and back to being open again, because I think with Blessed By, I had to be very focused and I had to kind of, in a way, change who I am, like be a different person and be like, you know, very structure oriented, Excel sheets and, you know, is the money coming in? Are we like out of pocket? So like, so I've done that role of like, you know, the material role. And now I want to get back to like the expansive receiving and channeling kind of phase, I think.
Beautiful. Anytime we talk, you have so much momentum and there's so many things ahead of you and there's so much important work that is in the future for you to do. And everything you're doing is like the sum total of everything you've experienced so far, which is just the most amazing thing. And I really do believe in your work. I believe in the impact and the kind of indestructible mission of love is just magnificent. I really do think that your project, making large monuments into vessels of musical expression that people can be a part of, this will bring people together in ways that we don't even realize now. So I cannot wait to see where this journey brings you next, Akshay.
we now need an army of believers to make it happen, because I guess the learning has been like doing it on your own is pretty tiring and exhausting. And I think it's now time to get more people like yourself and Robbie and, you know, whoever else that we know, you know, like people are on the same path and get us together and do something good.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it. And Robbie Dunn has actually been a guest on a previous edition of the Audio Talks podcast. So, you know, you were in the best company, my friend.
You're already roping in the evangelists.
Fantastic. We're on the same wavelength, my friend.
We always have been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll make it happen. So, my friend, I have one more question for you. And this is one we ask all of our VIP guests, from A.R. Rahman to Robbie Dunn to Akshay Sarin, and that is to choose a track for our Tidal playlist. And it can absolutely be one of your own tracks, if you like.
A track for your Tidal playlist. I don't know why, like, Heal the World came to me just now by Michael Jackson.
Right, We Are the World. That is going in the title playlist. What a perfect choice, actually. Thank you. And I'm going to throw in a track that I heard really recently, and you just reminded me of it because you spoke about that kind of feeling that you get from music from South India. And this is from a young man called Anish Kumar, and it's called Everything Blooms Around Her. You are going to love it. So listen, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Akshay Sarin. It's been a pleasure as always to catch up with you. As fascinating and unique and brilliant and accomplished as your life has been so far, it always feels like your most magnificent years and projects are ahead of you, and I cannot wait to see what comes next.
No, the pleasure is all mine. I would like to say thank you for being a vehicle for good things to happen at the right time. I think this is also a good time. So I am publicly declaring that I am very grateful to have you in my life. Thank you so much.
Back at you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Big digital hugs.
Big digital hugs, indeed. So listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have. Now, please don't forget to subscribe, comment and share Audio Talks with your friends and family. If you're enjoying the Audio Talk series of podcasts, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts and leave a nice review. It really does mean a lot, and it helps listeners to get to know the magnificent, multi-potentiate, creative power players like Akshay that we talk to in every single episode. So for more exclusive content, some behind the scenes goodies and maybe even some competitions, connect with us over on the Instagram. You can find us at Audio Talks Podcast. We'll be back soon for some more Audio Talks. See you next time.